All right, good morning, everyone. Welcome to another News in Focus program. It's Tuesday morning, and I have Brother Dick Button in the office with me. And we want to do a special podcast on state politics. And Brother Dick Button is running for a local representative in our state, in the state of North Carolina, in our state house. And so even though you're not maybe listening from North Carolina, I bet you your state is probably organized in a similar fashion, and you would have a local representative in the same way. In North Carolina, Dick, they call them districts. Is that right?
That's correct.
Right. And so you're running for District
44.
District 44. How many do we have in the state?
Well, in the House districts, we have 120, and in the Senate, we have 50. And I'm running for the North Carolina House District 44.
Now, if I recall, I think at the federal level, there's 435, or I think somewhere around there.
In that neighborhood, yes.
Right.
I don't have the exact number.
But it's about that.
Yes.
And then at the Senate level, it's 100.
That's correct.
Okay, so we're talking about state government. So you would do the same thing at the state level that we think about our representatives doing at the federal government.
That's correct.
So, Dick, what kind of issues would a state representative be focused upon?
Well, the issues for us here in North Carolina are not going to be too far off from what you're going to hear in the rhetoric and the discussions about the needs on a national basis. Things like jobs, taxes, government and government spending, education, energy issues. These are going to be the same hot topics for a local level as well as for the national level.
Now, Dick, I've known you for a couple years. You relocated from Iowa down to North Carolina and became a member of the church. And quite frankly, I never really thought about you running for office. You haven't been a politician in your life.
No, I haven't been a politician, but I have been interested in what goes on in our country. Our country was set up, and our states were set up for representation of the people. It's a government that is of the people, and therefore my Christian duty, I believe, has always been to let our representatives, first of all, be involved in voting for who is going to represent us, and then I believe it's our responsibility to let them know where we are concerned relative to the issues that affect us, and that is where I have been involved in the past. Been a voter 100% of the time, and then also I've spent a lot of time writing and keeping our senators and so forth up to date on where I stand with a lot of the issues. And so when we came down here and moved to North Carolina. We chose North Carolina because we liked it. We liked the location. We liked the climate. We liked the closeness to the ocean and the mountains. Now that we've been here, we really enjoy the people and the area. But North Carolina has some issues that I think needs to have some attention paid to them.
Now, you're a retiree.
That's correct.
What'd you do?
I was a designer, drafter, engineer in a major manufacturing company. Our products are something that not the average person sees, but everybody that uses products in this country benefit from our product. It's kind of like one of the other commercials that used to be on TV. You don't see the products we make, but you use the products that our products make possible. And so we had a worldwide presence, companies all over the world, and I spent a lot of my time training in North America countries as well as companies, as well as many of our other companies around the world. But chose to retire and move here from Iowa because we liked the climate,
right,
and getting out of the Iowa winters.
How long did you work for that company?
2 months short of 42 years.
2 months short of 42 years. And you're a grandfather?
That's correct.
Father as well?
Yes.
How many children?
We have two sons. Both are married. One lives in South Dakota and one lives in Minnesota. And between the two sons, we have 10 grandchildren. One of the sons has three, the other has seven. Of those seven, three of them are adopted.
So really, you've had a full life.
Yes.
And yet you say, I'm not done. I still have more to give back to my country. I still have more to give back to my church. And this is the way in which you're exploring that. Is that fair?
That's correct. Yes.
And you have a desire to impact America as much as you can at this state level.
Yes.
I think, Dix, we sometimes think about, okay, I've got to begin as a politician and I stay a politician all my life, but you're not anything like that. You're just the opposite. You've got this array of experience in life and global travel, working in industry, raising children, now involved in grandchildren, a member of Bible-believing churches your whole life, and now you're kind of exploring, is this God's will for my life?
That would be correct.
Right.
Yes. I have my belief, my understanding is this country was established, and the politics of this country as well as our states were established originally with the idea that the average person, the average worker that wanted to serve his country could be elected by the citizens and go to Washington or to the state level and serve for a few terms and then basically return home to their former occupations or families or jobs. It was not designed from the intent of a person being a lifetime politician. And so I believe from that standpoint, I'm at a point in my life that I'd like to participate and give what I can from my experience to help in the advancement or the improvement or the continuous running of our state and really make it a good state. Not that I'm going to do that by myself, but it is already a good state, but there's some things that I mentioned that we could do that need to be improved in this state for the general needs of the people and for businesses, so forth.
Now, someone listening out there, Dick, in this podcast fits the same category as you. I promise you there's someone listening that could do the same thing you did. So let's back the train up a little bit. What was the first thing you had to do? You registered. How did that work? And then what was your first contest?
Well, the first thing you have to do is go down to the Board of Elections, and it's usually by the county, and file for the position that you are interested in running. For example, in the House District 44, I had to live in the House District 44 in order to be a representative for that area. And once we filed papers and was basically approved to run, I've met the qualifications for living in the area a certain amount of time, and then we faced, in this case, a primary election because there was more than one of us that had filed. Had there been just one person filed for that district, there would not have been a primary for that position. And, of course, that works for both a Republican and a Democrat. So once the primary date was set, then those of us that were in the primary runoff had to run a campaign, contact people, get our contacts, and raise a little bit of money depending on the kinds of expenses we had. And once the primary was over, whoever won now becomes the official nominee for the position of the District 44 House Rep, and of course for any other district. And I am running as a Republican, therefore I will now represent the Republican Party, and we have another person running it as a Democrat for the same House seat. And now we're getting ready, cranking up for the general election in November, which means we have to do this all over again, raise money, set out, make contacts, get out our information, let as many people as possible know about who we are, and make ourselves available to answer questions, whatever, so that people understand who we are.
Now, Dick, how many people voted for you in this last election?
Just shy of, let me say, it wasn't just for me, it was just shy in the 44th district for the Republican candidate, just shy of 5,000 votes. And I garnered 65% of those votes.
Okay, so 5,000 registered Republicans came out, and they chose between you or the other person, and 65% of that 5,000 chose you.
Yes, except that they could have been unaffiliated in the primary.
Okay, right.
In the primary, you have to vote either Democrat or Republican ticket. There could have been an independent ticket also. There was not in our district. But the unaffiliated persons have the choice when they go into a primary election to pick, I want a Democrat ballot or a Republican ballot, or an independent ballot if there had been one. When we get to the general election, there is no strings attached to how you vote. You can vote across the board, you can vote straight party, you can pick and choose from either party particular persons. So in the general election in November, it's possible for a Democrat to vote for me even though I'm running on the Republican ticket. And of course, same for independent or unaffiliated.
Now I bring those numbers up because, again, sometimes we think in terms of, because maybe we've got such a high view of federal government, that we forget how small this really is. That
yes,
5,000 people is a reasonable number of people. I mean, you're going to get out here and shake hands. You're going to knock doors.
Yes.
You're going to meet people and connect with them and ask them, vote for me, not in a commercial level, in an individual, face-to-face idea.
Yes. Now, in the general election for District 44, there is the possibility of close to 40,000 registered voters. And as in our primary election, it was just barely 25% of the registered voters in that neighborhood voted. So, and of course, depending on whether they were living in a district that had someone to vote for or not, that affects what the numbers look like in each of the voting districts.
Sometimes, Dick, we hear about this idea of get out the vote, you know, that get
yes.
out the vote. But in your case, that's a very legitimate idea.
Yes, it is.
You have to motivate people who may not be motivated about voting at the federal government level to still come out, even if the idea is, I'm going to the voting booth for one reason, I want to see Dick Button elected, and I'm going to cast that vote.
That's correct.
Yeah. And some politicians and some pundits have talked about the potential for a very low voter turnout at the federal level because, quite frankly, Dick, a lot of us are disgusted with the prospects of what is happening up there at Washington.
That's correct.
And yet we still need to be motivated to recognize that there are people at the local level that are counting on us to get out of the House and come vote.
That's correct.
Yeah, it's a tough scenario.
Yes, it is.
Because on the one hand, you're just absolutely motivating people who might be, or trying to motivate people that might be, quite frankly, pretty apathetic at this point.
That's very possible, and that is always a concern to whether it's a local politician or a national politician. The motivation to get people to actually go to the polls and vote is a very real issue.
Now, at the national level, Dick, especially with the president, we've got that whole electoral college idea.
Yes.
And so sometimes it feels like my vote doesn't even count. You know, I almost get that idea when I see these numbers at the grand scale, and then I find out, okay, there's the percentages, but really he swept the electoral college. And I go, well, what difference did it make? But at your level, there is no electoral college.
There's no electoral college. And even I would even say that on the national level, even with the Electoral College, a single vote, it doesn't seem like it makes a big difference. But if there are thousands of single votes that don't happen, those combinations do change the balance of where the electoral vote goes.
Right. But it's such a grand scale at that national level, right. Dick, it seems like it doesn't matter.
Right, but when, locally it does.
When I bring it down to 5,000, when I bring it down to 4,000, then I really begin to get the sense that Dick could lose the election if I don't vote.
That's right.
Yeah, and so our primary encouragement, first of all, on the podcast, is not to vote for Dick. It's to vote.
It's to vote.
It's to vote. That it's your duty, because God has given you the privilege to vote, to not be apathetic.
That's correct. Unlike many other countries in the past and the history there, in the history of our world, there's really been no other republic or democratic society like the United States. And it really is dependent upon individual voices being heard at the voting booth, and then once the voting's over, staying in contact and providing feedback to their representatives.
Now, the person you're running against in District 44, Dick, are they the incumbent?
He is currently serving in the North Carolina House, but in a different district. During these last census, and because of the changes with the census and the trying to keep the districts evenly divided, they did what was redistricting. This is done periodically, legally, and it's done, of course, depending on who's in power in the state legislature, they have an effect on who ends up in certain districts. And the man that I'm running against, Rick Laser, used to be in District 45, but because of the redistricting, he is now living in 44, and so he filed again to run in District 44.
Okay, so he's not truly an incumbent because of the redistricting, but he does have a name recognition in the state. Is that true?
That's right. He's not an incumbent in 44. He's an incumbent in 45, but he had to switch to the 44th district in order to run again.
Right. And so that's challenging.
Yes, it is.
Right.
He has a name. He has a experience. He has some background in areas like education and legal matters and so forth. He's done a good service to our state and our district in providing himself to serve in this way over the years. But I believe, based on my conservative principles, many of the things that he stands for, I have the opposite position, and that is why I'm running.
All right, give us an example of what do you think the most defining difference between his philosophy towards how he would vote and the way you would vote as a representative of District 44?
I can't speak specifically because of I do not have all of the details about where he's been, but primarily, I would believe in less government. And as I understand from some of the comments he's made, he would be more inclined to have more government involvement in daily lives and handouts. I don't want to call them necessarily handouts. That's my term. But the government providing a lot of financial assistance for education what I would call a welfare mentality. And so I am more along the lines that the government should not exist to provide for everybody's needs. The government needs to be there to provide for things that are not common or not easily provided for on an individual basis, such as roads and the school system and the judicial system. Those we need a larger group of people to input the tax money for those to provide that on an economical type of basis. I believe government in the later years has gone too far into trying to take care of everybody's needs at every level. And that is where I would like to help pull these things back from our state level, at least, and have the person be more responsible for their own needs. A person should be providing for their own family in the ways of their income and their food and their clothing, and not depending upon the state or the federal government to do this. And that is, that I think is what, when you get down to the nitty-gritty, that's what's going to separate us in terms of where we stand on particular issues.
Now, Dick, you've got quite the challenge. And I say this because many registered voters are getting those type of benefits.
Yes.
From the federal government and the state government.
That's correct.
And the latest data, I did a podcast on this 2 days ago, is 49% are getting some type of government assistance.
Yes.
So if I'm one of those persons that isn't getting that government assistance, I'm one of those guys, Dick, that actually pays taxes,
right,
and helps pay for them to get their government assistance, and I sit at home and don't vote in November, I shouldn't whine for the next 2 years.
That's correct.
Because I had an opportunity to influence the direction we're going, and I chose to stay at home and play with the remote control or something other than go and cast my vote.
That's correct, yeah.
I think we sometimes fail to consider, we know that the federal government's $16 trillion in debt, which is some astronomical number that neither one of us can wrap our brains around. I've seen some charts and some graphs on how to try to illustrate $16 trillion, and it's mind-boggling numbers.
Yes.
We seem to forget that our states have to also balance a budget, don't they, Dick?
Oh, yes, they do.
And each state doesn't have the ability to print money.
That's correct. We have to depend totally on the revenue that is produced through our taxes. We cannot affect the additional influx of revenue by the Federal Reserve. That's totally the federal government that does this. That's a different story. But the state has to look at the income and budget according to the income or the possible income. And so it's a challenging job.
I think we sometimes, because of the astronomical size of these numbers, that we forget, Dick, that a state or a county or a city has to balance the budget, that they can't run like the federal government's currently running, which is for every dollar we take in as a federal government, we're spending about $2 is where we're at.
Right.
And every household sitting at home knows that if I make $50,000 a year and I spend $100,000 a year, there's going to be a problem. I mean, there's going to be a day of reckoning coming.
Yes.
But we seem to forget that when it comes to the state level and the federal government level.
Yes. And those are some of the issues that I would like to be able to have an impact on. And I believe our North Carolina legislature has been making some moves in the right direction, and I would like to be a part of that.
Right. Okay, so now tell us, Dick, the November's right around the corner. We're almost in June, so June, July, August, September, October, so about 5 months of,
that's correct,
of heavy-duty focus. You can't do it by yourself.
No way.
Yeah. To try to figure out how am I going to reach out to 40,000 potential voters, swaying those that may not come out to come out, those that may be exasperated, Democrats, Republicans who are just exasperated with 49% of households receiving some type of assistance and recognizing that train's got to be turned around. And they don't really care about political affiliation. They just want to vote for somebody who understands what it is to go home every day after working hard, balancing a budget, raising children, raising grandchildren, served in local church, knows that a church has to have a balanced budget. You've done that. You've served as a treasurer in church.
Yes.
And they're going, you know what? This Dick Button, I want to vote for him. Now, besides voting for them, how else can we help you?
I need money. And that's the first thing. Most politicians will tell you that. But being the new kid on the block, I do not have the base of known contributors. And so I understand that to even be somewhat effective in this, I'm going to have to raise a substantial amount of money before the election. Some estimates have been in the $30,000, $40,000, $50,000 range. Part of that money will come if I have some money up front, some indication that I am a viable candidate, that I have the ability to reach people, bring in some money. So the effort that I've been trying to reach people now is in the next 6 to 8 weeks, if I could bring in $8,000, $10,000 in donations, that would help later on in terms of garnering support from some of the other groups and the committees that are there to help the candidates.
And you're talking about from the Republican Party, is that correct?
That's correct.
So at the state level, each party has a pool of money.
Yeah, that's a reasonable thing to say.
Okay,
yes.
And now either Democrat or Republican leaders have to wisely spend that money.
That's correct.
And if they look at Dick Button and go, Dick Button, he's an outsider, and he might not even get 10% of the vote. Man, we're just not going to waste any money on him.
That's correct.
Then, or they look and say, man, something's going on down there, District 44, and this is a viable opportunity for us to get that seat. Is that?
That's correct.
Yeah. Okay, yes. So basically, it's almost like seed money, if I could use that expression.
That's a good way to put it, yes.
Yeah, you got to get something started here. Now, you're not looking for $1,000 contributions from the typical person in District 44, although that'd be awesome, right?
Oh, I'd take it, yes.
Yeah, right.
Every little bit helps. You know, a thousand people giving $5 is $5,000.
That's right.
It means a lot more paperwork because we have to keep track of that in our campaign, but it's still income. That's still money that can be added to the campaign fund it counts.
Now, this money, Dick, is not tax deductible.
That's correct. It's not tax deductible. It's just because you think I'm a good guy and you want to help me get there.
And it's really kind of how committed am I to seeing the potential train wreck and recognizing that, man, we've got to put the right people in office to slow the train down, redirect the train, figure out how to get state government back on the right course to where we've got industry coming into North Carolina instead of leaving.
That's right.
That we're balancing the budget every year, that we're not talking about. I remember a couple years ago, Dick, when we filed our state income tax, and we were told, don't expect your refund anytime soon. There's no money.
That's right.
And so we waited for our state income tax return. The goal is to create a slush fund at the state level to be able to deal with crises and emergencies.
Yes, and at least have a budget that is robust enough that we're pretty confident that the revenue is going to be there on a regular basis. And the way to keep our revenue good is to have a good environment for our businesses so that in turn provides for jobs. Currently, North Carolina is over 9% unemployment, higher than the average. And probably if you look at some of the other numbers and spin them differently, it's even higher than 9%. So a government can't create a job, but a government can make the environment conducive to those that do create jobs. And that's the target objective for our state legislature right now is helping our environment be conducive to creating jobs.
Well, Dick, that kind of goes back to our previous discussion as to what might make you different from your opponent. Is does the government create the absolute minimum necessary number of jobs, or does the government create as many jobs as it can in order to boost the economy? Those are two diametrically opposed ideas there.
Right.
And you would say the minimum necessary jobs to accomplish what government needs to do. Is
that correct? That's correct.
And then as much as possible, set the conditions for industry to be able to prosper well in America.
That's right.
Less jobs going overseas, more jobs staying in North Carolina specifically.
That's correct.
And we can influence that at the state level through policy decisions.
That's correct. Right. Yes. And yeah. We have some policies in this state that need to be fixed. But if you would let me direct back to the things that I will need some help in terms of campaign management over the next few months. I would like to be able to put together a campaign committee. I shouldn't say it maybe that way, but the number one person besides myself for our campaign committee, I've been told I need a treasurer.
Okay.
Currently, I'm doing the treasurer work. I'm doing everything myself.
Right.
And so as the need to get out and meet with the people increases, I need to give some of these responsibilities for in-office tasks, so to speak, to somebody else.
So you're looking for a volunteer.
I'm looking for a volunteer.
Right, there's no salary money. This is not one of these big campaigns where people get paid for this.
That's right.
You're looking for people who live in Fayetteville, Cumberland County,
yes,
Polk, Rayford area. They don't even have to live in your district.
They do not have to live in my district. It's anybody that has the same principles that I do, the same objectives that I do, and would like to see this go forward. For example, within Cumberland County, there are only 3 conservatives that are running in all of the available districts. And so I'm one of them.
Wow, you're 1 of 3.
That's correct.
So we want to, with this podcast, reach out to as many people as possible and say, could you serve as Dick's treasurer? Could you serve as Dick's campaign manager? And you say, well, I couldn't do that. Could you be part of the team?
Right. Strategic ideas, help with planning, ideas for how to do fundraisers, hosting things like a meet and greet in an area where we could have people from the community come in, being able to walk door to door, handing out flyers, just anything that as we develop a more concise campaign strategy, which is what the campaign committee would help do, be involved in some of these day-to-day tasks, weekends or nights, being able to address letters or whatever, just anything.
All right, so let's point them to your website, Dick. How do we get a hold of you? How does a person respond to this?
Well, the website is the easiest. I have contact information on the website. I have
all right, so donation. Tell us the URL.
Okay, it is www, and then R as in Richard, R button, and it's just like a shirt button, R button, BUTTON, the number 4, and nchouse.com. And there is available donation opportunities, contact opportunities, information about voting, ways to get to the sites that provide the districting, and I've tried to link up there things that would be helpful to the average voter. Now, I'm also looking for persons that could do Facebook management, a webmaster, any of these tasks that could be done by someone on a minimal basis
would free me up
to do other things.
All right, tell us the URL again, because we've got to really get that.
It's R button 4,
as in the number,
nchouse.com.
Okay.
So
how about your email address?
The best email address, the one I'm using for my campaign, is richardbutton@richardbutton4nchouse.com or dick.button@gmail.com. Okay. And that was probably, that one would be the easiest one to remember, is dick.button17@gmail.com.
Okay, and then How about making financial contributions? Can I do that through your website? Or
you can do that through my website. You can mail them to my address, which is found on the website.
Okay.
I am going to be having available forms. If you want to provide a check, I'm going to have forms that I'll carry with me most of the time. Anybody wants to see me, you can email and say, I need a form. I'd like to send a check. I will mail a form. One of the things with the campaign financing, we have to report anything that's aggregate giving over $50 per person. We have to report their name to the campaign finance committee. And so I need, on the form, it'll be a space for your name and, of course, your address and your employer. One of the things the campaign financing is looking for is they don't want people funneling money for their employer. Businesses cannot give to my campaign.
I see.
Individual people can, but the idea is to try to track who a person works for, so that if a person gives more than the allotted amount every campaign time, they want to make sure it's not being funneled from a company or a business.
Right, so where you're really being bought as a representative for a particular company because they funded your whole campaign.
That's correct.
Right. So that's back to that representative government idea, to where Dick is not a representative of an industry, he's a representative of the people in District 44.
That's correct.
All right, Dick, can you think of anything else that we have not covered with regard to this local campaign idea, because it's kind of foreign to us in many regards? We wonder how people get up there and go through the nut roll of becoming a candidate and getting elected, and you've really unpacked it as that a local person can do this, a person listening can get involved in this campaign. Do you have to have any prior campaign experience?
No, you do not.
No, you haven't.
I haven't.
This is all uncharted waters for you. You're taking it one day at a time and learning as you go.
That's correct.
And you're going to bring 40 years of life experience as an adult into the House of Representatives, hopefully in the fall when you get elected. And then you're going to be the kind of guy that I send a letter to and say, what is going on up there? And then you respond to me. Is that right?
That would be correct.
Yeah, that's exciting because you know what it was like when you were writing somebody at the House of Representatives or the Senate level,
yes,
and they either did or did not respond, and either they paid attention or they didn't. And I kind of sense from you that your intent is to be the kind of guy that is in touch with people.
That's my intent, yes. Because I did, even though when I responded or sent information to our representatives and senators, I had a lot of respect, at least for the persons that responded to me. Some of them I didn't necessarily agree with, but at least they were willing to get back to me on their position. So,
all right, finally, Dick, so that everyone understands, at the state level, this is not a money thing for you. You don't make a lot of money up there at the state level, do
no,
you?
No, that's correct.
A person's not making $100,000 a year at the state level.
No.
And they're not becoming millionaires. Now, you know, you do know, Dick, that at the federal level, we've got a major problem with that.
Yes, yes.
That a large percentage of the representatives go in as wealthy people or upper middle class, and they leave office as millionaires.
That's right.
Probably not going to happen at the state level, Dick.
No. In fact, I'm even considering one of the moves by some of our conservative groups is to have term limits within the state legislature, and I'm pretty supportive of that. I want to look at what would be proposed before I come down hard on one side or another. But that's a very viable option to help
eliminate this, representative government.
That's right.
Career politicians going away.
Yes.
Yeah. And less people going into office and leaving as millionaires. I mean, we didn't elect you to become a millionaire. We elected you to vote for us.
Right. Right.
Yeah. Well, Dick, thank you so much for coming into the office. And our hope is that this podcast is educational to the greater community that listens, and that that there's somebody out there that says, you know what, I can make a financial contribution. I can give up $10. I can give up $50. I've got a little extra money here. I can give up $500. And then there are others that say, I've got time. I could give up a couple Saturdays between now and November. I could come over to Dick's house and stamp some letters and address some things and help create a mail out. And Dick, there could be somebody listening out there that's got an incredible experience in this from 10 years ago, five years ago. That's and they could really provide some valuable input to you.
Yes.
And we would ask you to reach out to Dick. He's open for help and open for suggestions and wants to know how can he beat his opponent. I mean, you're not doing this to lose.
That's correct.
Yeah, this is a lot of your time.
That's correct.
And our objective from your perspective is to win. Well, thanks for listening. Have a great day. Pastor@bbc@gmail.com if you want to send me your comments.